everyone. It was good to hear the victory in your voice tonight, Rich. Thank you. And Jenna Raid, it's good to see your name on here. We really love you. Keep pressing into him. I've been pondering something this last week or two because of some events that happened in our home. And John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's not only the truth of the scriptures that makes us free, but it's the truth about other things, and especially the truth about ourselves that makes us free. And recently we dealt with someone who could not believe the truth about himself. He could not believe what the scriptures say about our Adamic flesh nature. Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And Paul said in Romans 7:18, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And Isaiah 64:6 says, "We are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." And this person we were dealing with felt, he believed that we saw that, and he wanted to see it, but he said he just can't see that. He just can't see that. And you know, I thought, what a freedom. What a freedom to be able to know, to see what you are without Jesus. That's a freedom to know what we are, and the freedom to know that we don't have to justify ourselves anymore for the things that we do. We have to confess them and repent and ask Jesus to cover them and take them away and change us. And I realized what a freedom it is. What a bondage. What an awful bondage not to be able to see what we really are before God. And when I read this scripture in Corinthians, it says that we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And there was a time when I would wonder how I was being changed from glory to glory. I read that scripture and I thought, how am I being changed from glory to glory? And then the Lord brought me into the death to self message. He made known to me that the areas of my life that still had darkness in, the Holy Spirit would put his finger on these areas if my heart was open and if I really wanted to be changed. And as I turned these areas of my life over to him, he would help me repent of that darkness and ask God's light to shine in that darkness. And as I did this, I would be changed in this area from darkness to light, from glory to glory. What a freedom. What a freedom that is to really go before God, as Daniel said, that David said, "Show me my sin, what's in me. Help me to know so that I can be cleansed." You know, the scripture says that it's the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us. That's present. He did cleanse us from our past sins, but he cleanseth us daily. He cleanseth us, present tense, from our sins as we confess them, as we ask the Lord to show them to us, as we ask the Lord to deal with us about our sins. The Holy Spirit will help us. It's just a wonderful freedom that we can see. You know, years ago, Sister Irma used to come to visit. She'd knock and come in the door, and I'd holler, "Who is it?" And she'd say, "It's Irm the worm." And one time God referred to Jacob. He said, "Jacob the worm." And that's what we are before we come to Jesus. We're just worms. And you all know about the caterpillar that gets changed into a beautiful butterfly. That's God's doing. That's God's work. And he can do that to us. He can change us from a worm into something beautiful. And I know Sister Irma's been with the Lord for many years, and I'm sure that God sees her through the blood of Jesus and sees her as a beautiful butterfly rather than a worm. But we have to acknowledge what we are. We have to acknowledge that without God, we're worms, we're nothing, that we can do nothing without Christ, but we can do all things in Christ, and that we recognize what we are and what we can be and what God can make us in Jesus. And that was really on my heart after dealing with this person. I thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you can show us that we're nothing but worms without Jesus. And thank you that you can show us what a beautiful butterfly you can change us into if we allow you to. And that was really on my heart this week. You know, God always changed his people. in the Old Testament, he changed his people. He changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham. He changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel. God always had a way of changing his people when he dealt with them. Not in the same way as us, because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. But he did change them. And we read in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that those that by faith they did this, and by faith Noah built an ark, and by faith Abram left the land where God told him to go, to a promised land that he promised for him. They did all that by faith, and it changed them. Somehow God changed them. He's a God that does that. He's a God that can take us from what we were to what we are. And it's just glorious. That was really real in my heart. I felt I wanted to tell the whole world about it tonight. Also, I want to say something else. This has nothing to do with that. But, you know, when we lived in Alaska, we always had a cross, an 8-foot cross with light on it, and an Israeli flag flying beside it. And everybody knew us for that. And so we felt that God was trying to bring the Christians and the Jews to get in love. But when we came back from Alaska, we just had no desire to put that flag up. We talked about it a couple of times, but we just didn't have any desire to put it up, and we didn't know why, but we just didn't. And recently, the Lord put it on all our hearts to put this Israeli flag up. And we got a flagpole, and we did put an American flag up so that we wouldn't offend anyone. And we put this Israeli flag up, and every time I go out there and see that flag blowing, something stirs in my spirit that we're taking a stand for Israel, that in our small way, the whole world's against Israel, but in our small way, we're taking a stand. We're for Israel. We love Israel because God loves Israel, and we're for Israel. And that's just an extra little thing I wanted to add. And thank you so much for listening, and shalom.
Amen. That was right, Ma. That's a good word. Oh, wait, here comes Joey.
Well, thank you, Dan. Oh, my, those words were so awesome. Dan, thank you for that message. Such a blessing. And Mama, your words as well. I was thinking twice if it's even needed for me to share what I got to share, but I guess we'll just go for it. In these past couple of weeks, I've been thinking about the danger of deception as I've been watching and learning from the brethren as we face with the challenge of having to deal against our invisible enemy as carefully and explicitly as possible. Mama was sharing about dealing with a person this recent past. So that's kind of like what I'm talking about here. So I was basically being reminded again a little bit about what Dan has been talking about concerning the intensity of Satan's attacks in these last days, and how we must learn to recognize even the most subtle activities of wicked demon spirits and really put them in their place, really put them in their defeated position, and not allowing them to have their way. We have the responsibility of closing all doors of influence in our lives, as the Lord has given us the power and authority to tread demon spirits and Satan himself feet in a place where they will not hinder or defile the life of the Spirit within the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, he said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Amen. So in the light of the truth that Satan is in such intense force to attack the saints in these last days with an incredible amount of deception, I was thinking about the Lord's warning in Matthew 24. The very first words that came forth from the very mouth of God to the disciples was to take heed that no man deceive you. The Lord Jesus declared that sober warning to them when the disciples were asking Jesus about the signs of his coming and of the end of the world. Jesus said to his disciples to take heed. Jesus said, "Do not be deceived." That was Jesus' simple but powerful answer to their question concerning his return and the end of the world, concerning the last days, concerning the days that we are living in. And of course, he expounds on it more and more in the rest of the chapter. Obviously, as they ministered the gospel and fully committed themselves to walking in the life and faith of Jesus Christ, their dealings and warfare against demonic spirits of deception and many other sorts of wicked spirits that defile the church were very much already intense in its power to attack and destroy God's people in their time, even 2,000 years ago. In the words of the Apostle Paul, he said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." That was Acts 20, 28-31. Again, Paul warned the church in another place. He says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." And I think in the same chapter, he mentions about preachers or apostles that are turning themselves or transforming themselves into false apostles, into ministers. They're ministers of righteousness, but then they're false ministers. So anyway, he's talking about the angel of light there in that same chapter too. So anyway, even John the apostle was very much in an all-out life of warfare as he warned God's people, saying, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Of course, the Apostle Peter was no exception in his warfare against demonic spirits, as he also warns the church about Satan's wicked lust to go about as a lion seeking whom he may devour. That is, Satan seeking God's people whom he may devour. Okay, so very briefly, just by taking note of these scriptures and writings of the apostles that applies to us today and as a reality way back then, 2,000 years ago, among the apostles and Christians of the early church, and their fierceness to fight Satan and men who contradict their faith, how much more should we seek and work hard to intensify the gravity of our fight to preserve and protect the life of God in us? How much more shall we anticipate and expect that our responsibility to fight against Satan has to be more intense than ever before? Especially with the fact that John warned us about the flood of demon spirits that comes from the bottomless pit in the last days. Demonic spirits that will boldly blaspheme God in his holy name. And these demons will not blaspheme God all by themselves. They will possess and attach themselves within the souls and bodies of men in the world, and especially in the church world of Christianity. Of course, this will also result in Satan overcoming a vast majority of Christian believers worldwide, as the book of Daniel and Revelation describes. That is a very, very, very scary thought, but so many Christians do not believe they will ever be overcome by Satan. As Dan had said, they don't believe Christians can have demons. They don't believe the elect, quote-unquote, will be deceived. A large amount of Christians believe they are automatically have become overcomers when they got born again. So therefore, there's nothing else to be overcome. They believe they are eternally secure for heaven. Therefore, God will not allow them to be influenced by Satan that would lead them to hell, and along with many other belief systems that Satan has been given the Christian church the reason to not ever engage in exposing and fighting the enemy with the weapons of warfare that God has given us through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. To remember that it is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became the Lamb of God, who died a brutal death in order to save sinners and to give them the necessary weapons of warfare to overcome the enemies of the living God. But Unfortunately, Christians will not fight against the enemy they've been blinded by. Christians have thrown away and trampled down their divine rights and their spiritual authority and power to defeat Satan in their lives so they can glorify God in their victory. But no, to them the battle belongs to the Lord, and all we have to do is believe God and do our best to be good Christians. Well, such mentality is so opposite of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said that we must enter the kingdom of God with many tribulations. Such mentalities mentioned above is not even basic Christianity that's in the Bible at all. They are all tricks and snares of Satan to collectively overcome Christian believers in the last days within the church system and outside the church system. Most of us probably have already heard the expression that as we near the coming of the Lord, everything will just get worse and worse. And indeed, that is true. But as things get worse and worse, are we keeping ourselves more and more awake? Are we moving with the flow of the Holy Spirit in our fight against all the demons that are loosed in these last days in our midst? Are we progressing in our ability to discern and to recognize the activities of demonic spirits around us, but especially within our own thoughts and our imaginations, in our motives and deeds and actions? Are we exercising the authority that God has given us in order to put the enemies of our soul where they belong? In the midst of a spiritually progressing evil influences in our midst, are we progressing also in our death to self and increasing in the life of Jesus Christ? If the apostles and Christians of the early church were intense and fierce in their warfare to overcome in such a generation that's so demonized and wicked, filled with deceptions, how much more should we be girding and raising ourselves up, paying the necessary price to become true warriors in these last days of incredible difficulties in the church and around the world because of the progressively high rank of deceptions of demons that has been loosed in the earth to destroy you and me, even to a point that even Jesus said that the night cometh when no man can work, because it is and will be so dark that the Lord would have to come in His, of course, in His own timing for the sake of those who made their calling and election sure, because it will be so dark that the only hope for the faithful is what they've been intensely groaning and crying out for, which is the coming of the Son of God as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it.
Amen. That's a good word, Joey. Hang on a second. I'm going to give you a scripture here. I want to share something quick. See that verse there? Okay, I guess I took it. This was during the Feast of Tabernacles. It says, the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Of course, the next verse goes on to say, he's talking about the Holy Spirit there. The Holy Spirit is going to be given. But I just want to share something with you. Something I was reminded of when Joy was talking. You know, Jesus gave us the types and feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Those all the types and shadows and what they represent. Pentecost was a feast of power as far as gifts and ministry. But you need more than gifts to survive the last days because of the intense pressure of the satanic forces that have been unleashed and the power God's given to Satan. And he provided a Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles for that time. The Day of Atonement, as you put your flesh to death, you cut off a lot of the avenues for the demon spirits to work. But during this feast, he says, out of your belly shall come rivers of living water. Out of the belly, out of the person, out of your relationship with Jesus will come truth, will come living water, the water that will set people free, set ourselves free, set brethren free, other brethren free. And I got to say this, if anybody's watched some of those videos, Deliverance, Bondage and Deliverance series, when she talks about her experiences, those demons did this and these demons did that and what she's sharing, all those experiences you can't prove by the Bible. All that was learned by experience, okay? And if you try to tell any fundamentalist Christian, half the Christians are baptized in the Spirit, anything she said she did or anything she experienced, they'd all say you're nuts, and you don't have any chapter and verse for that, and they would reject it out of hand. All those things she's experiencing and sharing and doing those tapes, none of that can be proven by the Bible. And what God's given us in the last days in the Feast of Tabernacles is experience, understanding, enlightenment that is not necessarily found chapter and verse in the Bible, but is not against anything the Bible teaches, okay? And this is one of the things wrong with all these apostasy watchers, all these fundamentalists, and even some of these Pentecostal preachers out there and apostasy watchers out there. If they can't give a chapter and verse for it, they tell you you're some kind of deception. And I don't believe that. And if they're true, if what they're saying is true, we are all totally deceived. All right? Living waters are going to come out of our bellies in the last days to sustain us and to help us and to help us help others. Living waters is direct revelation knowledge. It's direct leading and guiding by the Spirit. Not doctrinal things, not theological positions, not even scriptural teaching. It's living waters being led by the right Spirit. So you can't prove from any verse of Scripture that there is such a thing as a religious spirit. Can't prove it. The only way we know there's such a thing as religious spirit is because we come up against it. We've learned to recognize it, and we've helped people get free from them. So God has given us something more during the Feast of Tabernacles to help us survive, to help us walk in victory, than just simply biblical teaching. And there's nothing wrong with getting your Bible teaching and getting it straight and having your doctrine straight. We should all have our doctrine straight. But it's going to take more than correct doctrine to keep you in the day in which we're coming into right now. It's got to take a personal word, a living word from the living Christ in heaven daily that to keep us, especially when it comes to deliverance. I'm going to give you an example of something that we've experienced twice now, two people in our groups over the last 15, 20 years. Twice now, somebody's come into our group. And their problem was they were seeking glory. They loved to have glory of men, the glory of men. And because they wanted the glory of man, they wanted everybody to love them and get their adulation, and they wanted people to worship them, because that's what they wanted so bad, and they were seeking it their whole life, demon spirits actually got in their life and empowered them and gave them talents, gave them abilities and talents that did not come from them. It's not Adamic. Now, we all have Adamic talents. We all have Adamic talents and things that we can do, but these are supernatural talents given to these guys, had no idea. But it was a judgment on them because they wanted the glory that belongs to God. They wanted the people to glorify them, to think they're the most wonderful people on earth, and to worship them. And because that was their main goal in life, that opened them up to demons that would help them steal the glory from God. The demons would empower their natural talents and abilities and ideas. And those ideas would come to pass, those ideas would work, those talents would function, and it would draw all the glory to them and thus to the demons that were empowering them. And the first guy we saw this in, he tried for years and years and years to put that thing down, but he never could, and it finally overcame and took him out all the way. I'm just pointing that out to you. You could never find that from the Bible. You could never go into the Bible anywhere and find any scripture, even an example that I know of, that could show you that demon spirits can actually give people talents and abilities that are more than Adamic, that enable them to get things that they want in their life. Power, glory, whatever. That's the kind of wisdom we need to go on to perfection in this hour, because demon spirits are entwined in so many people's personalities. What Jane was doing in those series, she was ministering among a specific group of people. They were all Christians. They were all baptized in the Holy Spirit if they were saved. They were all walking end time truth. They were walking towards tabernacles. But the main message of that group for so many years was death to self. It was just death to self. They weren't really focusing on how the demons interact with self, how demons entwine themselves in self. And God raised her up among that whole group to start bringing deliverance to the people who were trying to die to self and couldn't still get free from any of the things they were about to. Death to self wasn't doing it. It wasn't enough. And so God raised her up. And so all those people, most of them were Christians, and they had demons, and they had no idea demons. They were dying to self. They were busy dying to self year after year after year. And so it's just important to know that separating from the world and dying to self, they have their place, but they're not enough by themselves. Demon spirits are active in our lives. Demon spirits are active in our lives. Even if we don't have a demon, demons talk to us every single day. Every hour of every day, some spirit's going to give you a thought. I guarantee it. You can't stop it. All you can do is learn to recognize it and reject it. That's all you can do. You can't stop the devils from giving you thoughts. Can't do it until the mind's sealed. There's going to come a time when God's going to seal our minds if we've been faithful in rejecting thoughts and learning how to recognize them, rejecting them. Then God will seal our mind where the devil can't get to them anymore. He won't even be able to do that. But until our minds are sealed, you can't stop the devil from shooting thoughts in your mind. I don't care if they're filthy, dirty thoughts or good thoughts. The problem with these two guys wasn't filthy, slimy pornography and drinking beer. They were doing good things. Their whole lives were filled with good works. Good works, and then when he got religion, it was good works in the name of Christ. They were always doing good things for people, helping people out, being Mr. Good Guy, Mr. Helpful, Mr. Wonderful to people. But see, it was all to take glory to themselves and then give that glory to the demons. They didn't know it. So they're glorifying Satan in the end. But they weren't doing evil things. They were doing good things their whole life, helping people. I think the first guy, would he give you a shirt off his back? What the hell are you thinking? He just loved helping people. That's all he did. But see, he helped people for the purpose of eventually enslaving them to himself. They would eventually just think he's so wonderful, they'd do anything for him. But he got them in that position by doing anything for them. He got down below them and bought them stuff, did stuff for them, laid down his life for them. This is all in an unconverted state, all for his own glory, and then giving the glory to Satan. See? And then he became a Christian. He just kept on doing the same thing and didn't realize what he was doing. He had no idea what had transpired in his life and how those demons were operating in his life. And so when he became a Christian, nothing changed. He just did everything in the name of Christ. Instead of his own name, he did it in the name of Jesus. And the whole thing operated just like it did before. And the only way it could be broken was for him to use his will to intentionally stop doing the things those demons told him to do. Stop being so good. Stop trying to help people. Stop trying to do this. And, you know, he tried to do that, and he couldn't. For 3 or 4 years, he tried to do it. He was so miserable and finally gave up. Couldn't do it. So there's a lot of ways these demons are intertwined in our personalities and intertwined in our actions. Sometimes they give us talents. We don't realize that they're giving it to us. We think it's our own talents. We think it's our own wisdom. We think it's our own abilities, our own ideas. And a lot of times it's demons giving us ideas and demons empowering us, giving us talents, giving us wisdom. So it's very important that we learn to walk by the Spirit and not by the letter of the Bible. There's lots of things God's going to show us in the coming days to set us free, to help others get free, that you can't point a chapter and verse at. You can't do it. And you got to be able to be led by the Spirit and hear by the Spirit and get a witness to the Spirit and know what spirit you're following. God's calling us to go to perfection, people. To perfection. Sinless perfection. None of us are going to get there if we can't see how the demons are operating in our lives. Now, God will cover us, and God's merciful. I'm not talking about God not having mercy on us if we're trying. I'm talking about you want to go into perfection? You want to be totally 100% clean? You want to be like when Jesus said, when the devil came to him at the end of his ministry, Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and find nothing in me. He finds nothing in me that he can touch. Nothing in me that he can call forth. Nothing in me that he can rise up. If we want to be like that, then we got to get the wisdom that comes out of the belly, not out of the Bible, to understand how these things are interacting and interlocking and affecting each other. Amen? So I ask God to give you wisdom. It's not wrong to have right doctrine, make sure our doctrine's right, make sure our doctrine lines up with Scripture, and make sure our experience lines up with Scripture. But if you're looking for a chapter and verse for everything that's going to go on in this whole realm, you might as well forget it right now, because there ain't none. And I'm not going to try and prove one either. I'm not going to try to prove to anybody that our experience is real, and what God has showed us out of the belly is real. I ain't going to bother trying. Okay? But if it's possible for us, it's possible for you. It's possible for anybody. If we can be taught by the Lord, then you can be taught by the Lord. Anybody can be taught by the Lord that has an open mind and an open heart and is willing to pay the price to buy the truth Jesus wants to give us to survive. Amen? Alrighty. Anybody else have anything to add or share or questions or ask or anything? No? Okay. Well, God bless you guys for coming. I'm glad you got your computer straightened out there, Sister Jan. Make sure you go look at those videos if you can. There's a lot of good truth in there. They give you a lot of understanding. Well, if nobody else has anything, last call before we shut her down. Alrighty. Thank you. Good for you, Rich. God bless you. Alrighty, well, I guess we'll see you next week then. God willing, and the river don't rise.